This is the strategy that I follow. It is truly this simple to become an everyday millionaire. There's a myriad of ways that you can do it that will stress you the heck out. Real estate is one of those that are capital intensive, which means cash. You're going to have some cash flow, some bank to do it sometimes, right? This is simple. $500, you can't go into a bank and be like, hey, I want to, you know, I don't know of anywhere you can put a down payment on a house or closing costs and all the other stuff that goes into buying real estate or starting a business and things of that nature. This is very, very low entry when it comes to, if you think about it, of what you have to contribute to become that millionaire, right? It's this simple. Number one, contribute to your employer sponsor plan up to the corporate match. Then go back and max out your Roth IRA if you're eligible. I've already told you how to do the backdoor strategy in traditional IRA. Then go back and max out your employer sponsor plan. That's it. Now, if you get that done, that's a lot of money in moving in the market, right? Got 23,000 plus 7,000. Y'all do the math. If you're behind, you got 8,000 plus 30,500. Y'all do the math. That's a lot of money going on. So that's basically all that everyday, ordinary people can do. If they're doing that, they're doing extremely well. Are there other things that you can do in the market? Yeah. But I ain't talking about that today. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate.
I think you've got to get to a space to where talking about how much money you make or how much money that you feel like you how much money you feel you deserve is a conversation that you're going to have throughout your career, because you're going to get paid all for all the while you're working. The more you get comfortable talking about that compensation, the better you are going to be in your career long term. It's hard, but again, I think that you got it, that it's a performance art. You got to practice it, and practice with somebody that you respect, who respects you, another person who's a professional that can understand your industry. And they may say, yo, if you came to my office and asked me about money like this, I would tell you, go back to your desk, right? It's a Black Man
Sunday. The difference between being rich and being wealthy is, a lot of times when you would refer to rich is something you have to do to maintain it and keep going and keep hustling. Wealth is something that you've created that it's passively operating for you. Even when you may not be doing anything, there are dollars being created and generated that create that ongoing wealth. Riches can come and go, but wealth is usually what's generational, because if you've created something that's enduring and generating, you know, what I would call passive income and that ongoing compounded growth that you can't even outspend, that's true wealth. So that's one side of the difference between being rich and being wealthy. And then the other side of the difference between being rich and being wealthy is rich a lot of times really just refers to dollars and cents. It is money, is how much money or how many things do you have. Wealth to me refers to other areas of your life, of how are you spiritually, mentally, physically, relationally. All those areas combined is what creates true wealth. And riches can be fleeting, but true wealth is created by being healthy in all of those other areas of your life as well.
But for a lot of people, if you could just have an extra $1,000 a month that your money generates, how would that change your life? And most people are like, man, that would change the game. $2,000, most people's mortgages are paid. Imagine if you don't have to pay your mortgage with your active income. Most people would say that's a game changer. So sometimes we just got to really get our head out of the cloud and say, okay, let me put a plan in place to just generate $1,000, $2,000 a month. And it may take 5 years, but in 5 years, I have $2,000 being generated. How many people can say that? Most people can't say that. So why are we sneezing at 5 years? Most people can't say that, and they've been working for 30 years. So if you could put a 5-year plan in place, now your mortgage is paid by money working. Well, now you can pay off the debt. Now you can enjoy your life a little bit more, and you really can take a step back and say, this is working, which then gives you the confidence, what we go back to with our tightroper, to say, I know what to do with my money. and I'm buying my freedom every day.
There's basically four different channels in the financial industry. There's the banking channel, the insurance channel, the brokerage channel, and the independent channel. Now, each one of those advisors in each one of those channels will tell you, I'm a financial advisor. Really, whatever channel you decide to do business through, whether it's going to your bank and asking for an advisor there, or someone refers you to an insurance agent who says they're a financial advisor, you want to make sure that they are a fiduciary. Fiduciary means that they have to act in your best interest. There's a difference between a fiduciary and a broker. A broker is kind of like going to a meat shop and asking them for a certain cut of meat. They're going to give you that meat that you're asking for. Going to a dietitian is different from going to a meat broker. That dietitian is going to tell you about everything that's healthy for you that you should be eating. Unfortunately, the meat, the guy that's just behind the counter selling meat only has the meat. And what, if you have high cholesterol, he's not going to tell you you should be eating salmon. And so you want to find a fiduciary like that dietitian that's looking at your whole life and saying, this is what's best for you. Not this is what's best for me and putting money in my pocket or selling you the only product that I have available to me.
Debt free is one thing, but it's does the debt have you or do you have control over the debt? Having control over the debt means that I'm leveraging this. So I'm financing this, and which means that I got to pay this amount every month. But the strategy is I'm financing this just so that I can build my scores up. And so I have multiple different things that I'm financing. It's considered debt, and it is debt, but it's debt with a strategy, because as I'm paying on this every month, I'm increasing my credit scores and my scores are going up. So you cannot build good credit or excellent credit without having debt. So you got to either have the debt, but don't let the debt have you.
I want to encourage people to use the times when there's COVID or when you're laid off. That's time to chill. It's time to recertify and re-up on your training and education. And so I'm grateful for what we would have coined as the downtime, being the time where I got to re-up the things that I needed to do. And so that's one takeaway that I also had with myself. When you get to a place where you feel like you're stuck in your career, you're only feeling that way because you've done everything that you could do with that current skill set. You need more tools for your tool belt. The minute you're laid off, register for a course. The minute you lose opportunities in your current scenario, that is God's way, I believe, of saying, hey, you're about to pivot. You need some more fuel or a different type of fuel and get what you need, because I'm launching you to someplace where you haven't been before.
Now, the great thing about Bank of America Homemaker Line of Credit is that there are no application fees. So you can actually apply for free. There are no closing costs. So we pay for all the closing costs. All the closing costs regarding that transaction, like inscribing, registering that lien on the government and everything that in between, we will pay for it. So you will have it available there. And I actually recommend every single homeowner that do have equity, like it's going to be almost everybody do have equity now, have a home equity line of credit. That's going to give you that peace of mind at night that if anything happens in the future, you will have a safety net. It's a financial safety net there that if you need to pull $20,000 tomorrow in the morning, you will have that home equity line of credit to go there, pull it out, and use it. And again, there are no closing costs, nothing about it to pay upfront. Once you go through the process, you have it open, you leave it there. It's going to be available in your application, in your mobile app. And whenever you need the money, you transfer that money. And that's when the monthly payments are going to start, whenever you pull money out of it. As I tell many of our clients, hopefully you never need it. Hopefully you don't need to pull any money out of it. But just keeping that available there as a safety net is very smart to do in these days.
Whole life insurance long term is a nice way to be able to pass on wealth from generation to generation, right? There's a stat in my office in particular, my firm in Chicago, we have like $50 billion of death benefit in the Chicagoland area. Only $2 billion of it is in the Black community. So there'll be a $50 billion wealth transfer that'll happen over the next, you know, 20 to 30 years. And imagine, right, like for my kids, right, something happens to me, my wife and my children are going to get a $3 million check from Northwest Mutual tax-free. And that's going to set them up to be able to go out and get their first house, right, and to be able to invest and to be able to grow their wealth, but then also be able to get their grandchildren's houses and build from there, right? And so that's at the core. Easy way to be able to put something in place that you can pass from generation to generation, right? And it's just a mindset. Like, I find working in other communities, they just, it's a checklist. They know when they graduate college, they got to make sure they buy some life insurance. For us, it's like working an uphill to teach why that's important, because it's not just about like the, you know, leaving the money behind. It is about creating some of that generational wealth.
Having reserves is something I stress even before buying a property. And people get mad at me. But I say, before you buy a property, you should have 3 to 6 months of reserves for when things happen. Because let's say, for example, you buy a rental property and your monthly expenses all in, let's just say for round numbers sake, is $800 a month. I would strongly suggest you have a minimum of $2,400 set to the side after you have all your acquisition costs for the property, because you don't know how long it's going to take for you to find a tenant. You don't know how long they're going to stay there. And the worst thing you can do is put stuff on a credit card or have to go into your own pot, have to just do something crazy to get the money to fill those gaps in. So again, something people don't talk about a lot, but it's very important to have those reserves. And if you don't have those reserves, you're going to have a lot of financial issues.
If you have some sort of income that's coming in, Corey, whether it's a job or whether you have a business, or heck, whether you're on Section 8 and welfare like I was when I was growing up and didn't get off of until I was 22 years old, if you have income that's coming in, you can build wealth. So I always suggest for people to take whatever amount that's coming in, take 10% of that and start putting it away to saving. Take another 10% of that and put it away so that you can invest. And my philosophy, what I teach my students and what I teach my kids, is that last 10%, put it away so that you can give it away. So you can tithe or give it away in form of scholarships. Live off of 70% of your income. Now, that 10% that we're going to start investing, then where do you put that money? When I first started out, I put it into real estate. And then I realized real estate didn't really fit my temperament. And so I sold off all my real estate and then I started lending. And then I realized lending for my temperament, for how I was living my life, running my businesses, I love lending. I didn't have to do much. I didn't have to have too much hands-on. I love the sort of returns. And then from that, I got into angel investing.
There's no magic wand. There's no magic potion. There's no, you know, secret super plan. If you're going to work, you have to put aside and save. You've got to invest. You have to make sure that you're making, you're not looking for any get rich quick schemes, that the tried and true way of saving monthly. And if you don't, put aside lump sums, have a lump sum to invest and have the money grow over time. Don't worry if you keep hearing about the stock market. The stock market has gone up through my lifetime. It's gone up through everybody's lifetime. A couple of years ago, I did a book on investing, and about 10 years ago, when people were talking about, oh, the stock market is gambling, it's scary. It's not. If you look at the price of what they talk about, the Dow Jones Index, if you look at when it started and you pick a day and the year that you were born, you will see that it's continuously gone up through our lifetimes. Do we have drops in the market? Absolutely, because there's no straight line. There's going to be ups and downs, but life has ups and downs. There's always going to be something in the news that's going to, and we've all lived through different times that things have been tough. So if it's stock market or investing in mutual funds or individual stocks, you know, put aside a little bit a month and watch that. If you want to buy property, you know, save up and maybe get into rental properties. All of these things are there for our community to do. It's just that we're looking for the quick admiration. We're looking for the quick fix to think that we're going to get the wealth overnight. It's not going to be easier But the old saying, the tortoise and the hare, the tortoise always wins out. You know, we can, you know, run fast and we're going to run out, but the tortoise is always going to be there. And it's slow and easy. If you haven't got the dollars, don't use that as an excuse to say, well, I'm never going to be rich. Yes, you can. Anybody can do it. It's only your mindset of what you want to do if you want to be successful.
What does a qualified offer look like for an investor into a company? And I think you have to answer four questions when you talk to people. Again, this isn't just banks. This is everybody from you and your individual self all the way to a bank. So angel investors, venture capital firms, everybody wants to know these four questions. Your mom, your dad, your sister, everybody wants to know these four questions before they move their money from their safe savings account into your account, your business account. One, they want to know, what do? Sell bottled water. Okay. Why are you good at it? Well, we're going to be in 40 Walmarts. We've tripled our revenue over the last few years. We have a closed loop recycling program. We have bringing the bottles back. We're sustainable. We're black owned. We're located in Pittsburgh Yards. Okay, great. First two questions. What do? Why are you good at it? Right? Those are the first two. And everybody's usually happy. Like, I'm going to raise money in a minute. The third thing is, how much money do you need? Every time I ask somebody that, they tell me what they do. And I say, how much money do you need? The number one answer is actually a sound. And the sound is about 50,000, about 100,000, about 25,000. And they don't know how bad that sounds to a person who has their money in their savings account. It sounds like you want me to give you your money so you can figure things out. And nobody wants to do that. But if you said, I need $22.7 million because I'm going to spend $12 million this month building the infrastructure and putting in blow motors, a chiller, a compressor, and getting our early preforms in. And then I'm going to lose, you know, $50,000 a month for the next 12 months. So I turn a profit in 2024, late spring, when we ought to have our 2-gallon jug ready. Now that person is prepared to receive the money because they've shown me that they know exactly how much they need. So I tell people, in order to really start your business plan, you really start to got to think about the money being in your account. Like, what do you mean, Dave? So if I asked you how much money you need, and you said about 50,000, I said, okay, suppose you have $2,000 in your account right now. And we went to Tyler Perry's house tonight, met Tyler Perry, told him what you do, how much money you needed. And suppose he just said, oh, 50,000, no problem. Tomorrow I'm going to wire it into your LLC. So Monday morning, you wake up, you hit F5 15 times, refresh on your bank account because there's $53,000 sitting there. Are you spending that money on Monday? Like, who are you wiring money to? Who are you? Are you finding? You found a place? Are you going to go find a place? All right, so you're not going to spend the money on Monday. It's going to stay in Mr. Perry's account. But if I say, oh, no, I've already found the chiller. It's a TechLong 3000. I've already found a location in Pittsburgh Yard. It's plot number 244. I'm going to wire the money over there. I'm going to hire this person whose benefits and salary are going to cost this much per month. And then leave the rest of the money in your account, you know, Mr. Tyler Perry, because we can just pay it out in tranches because the rest of it I won't need until we get to the next phase of our program. Same thing with business. You got to spend the time to do the research on where you're going to be spending your money in the business. And you got to say, okay, let me go ahead and call a lawyer and find out how much it costs. Let me go ahead and find an accountant and find out how much it costs. Let me go ahead and look at how much this rent going to be at a specific location. Don't put in your business plan rent $1,000. Put rent at 234 Main Street is $784 plus HOA plus whatever, right? Like, you got to go through that detail and that work. And when you talk to people about how much money you need, the detail and the work you've done is going to come out like this because you've already really got through it. But when you're like, I ain't thought that far, when you say about them, it pretty much tells me you haven't thought this through.
If you pay one monthly payment a year to the principal of your mortgage, that 30-year loan, you will pay it off in 24 years. You will get rid of 6 years of interest if you are able to put to the principal one monthly, the equivalent of one monthly payment to the principal.
We all make enough money, we just don't make it fast enough. So everybody's gonna make a million. If you make $25,000 a year for 40 years, you make $1 million. You just don't make it fast enough. So what if you could collapse that and you make that same million in a year? Or you could make that same million in 2 years versus 40 years. But the game they taught us was go to school, get a job, get good grades at college, go get a job for somebody else, work 40 years, get a pension, live on that pension, and for it to pay you for your die. But we all know that game, that been dead.
Save a portion of what you earn no matter what. Should not be dependent on the amount you earn. It's an absolute decision to save a certain percentage. And then once you have set aside enough money for you and your family to live at least 6 months without a dime coming in, then you consider now investing so that your money can take care of you. So that's my take on the law of value. If there's one, this is something the young people need, because more and more, not just the young people, all of us need it, because the way the world is right now, there are going to be some serious financial challenges over these next few years. And if you don't master money, money will master you.
Roll over all 401k employer-sponsored money into a IRA immediately upon separation. Don't leave your money over there with your old girlfriend or your old job. Would you do that? Would you leave your money with your old girlfriend? No. Better take your money with you. That is an option. You can leave it with your old employer. But then when the plan administrator changes, it may shift you into a simple savings account or money market. You have no control over that. You always want to keep control over your money, even if it's rolling it. If your new employer has a option where you can roll the money over into their plan, do that. But if you want ultimate control and charge of your money and have more investment options, roll it over into an IRA that you control the investments in. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away.